Well, good evening, everyone. Let me add my welcome to that of Johnny's. You can probably hear I'm struggling with a bit of a sore throat. I hope you can hear me. And I hope my voice lasts out for our time together. Johnny mentioned the programme Faking It. I don't know if you've seen Faking It. It was a Channel 4 series. And in it, members of the public were trained up in some particular expertise for 4 weeks with an expert. And then they were entered into a sort of contest against people who actually were experts in that field. And a panel of experts tried to decide which ones were genuine and which ones were faking it. So we saw Sean Evans, the cellist, in a classical orchestra. And she pretended to be a DJ at a nightclub. We saw Ed Devlin, who was the owner of a burger van, and he pretended to be a cordon bleu chef. We saw naval petty officer Spencer Bodler trying to pass himself off as a drag artist. These people pretended to be the real thing, and despite the fact they were faking it, they had quite a lot of success in what they did. Well, what about Christians? That's our question this evening. Are Christians the real deal? Or are Christians faking it? What is authentic Christianity? Is there such a thing as authentic Christianity? If you're a regular here at City on Sunday evenings, you'll know we've been looking at this portion of the Bible, what's called the Sermon on the Mount, some teaching about from Jesus about what a Christian, a real Christian, looks like. And what we read this evening, what Sarah just read for us, is a conclusion. And Jesus is telling us how we make the distinction between real Christians and people who might possibly be faking it. You know, I think people give a number of reasons, a number of excuses for not looking into Christianity, for not taking the Christian faith seriously. And maybe some of them will sound familiar to you as we look at them. Here's my first excuse. Christians are in a minority. Christians are in a minority. That's certainly true. And that's exactly what Jesus said. If you've still got your Bible, at the bottom of page 971, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So most people are on the broad road, and only a small number on the narrow road. What do you think about that? What's your reaction to that? Maybe you say, well, I like the broad road. I want to be on the broad road. I want to be accepting. I want to be open-minded. I want to be tolerant. And I don't want anything to do with narrow. Maybe you say, I don't want to be in a minority. I don't want to swim against the stream. I don't want people to think I'm in any way weird or peculiar. Maybe you say, I'm not sure there is a God. But if there's a God, I'm sure he's going to accept me. After all, I'm not a bad person, am I? Maybe you say, if there is such a thing as heaven, I think it should be for everyone. I don't go along with this in or out idea. John Lennon famously sang, "Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky." Well, it might be easy to imagine, but imagining it doesn't make it true, does it? Jesus is very clear. Two sorts of people in the world, those on the broad road that leads to destruction, and those on the narrow road that leads to life. And Jesus' question really is, which road are you on? You don't just find yourself on the road to life. You don't just stumble onto it. You're not there automatically because you live in the Western world. You've got to go through the gate. And most people never do. Quite a number of years ago, I went to Singapore on holiday. And I stayed with some friends there who were Singaporean. And one day they all had to go out to work and I was left on my own. And they said, well, why don't you go on a boat trip? Why don't you go to one of the islands? They've got beaches and cafes and you'll have a great time. So off I went down to the docks and I found queues for boats to various destinations with the names of the places above the queues, and they all meant nothing to me. Most of the queues were short. But there was a queue to a place called Kuzu Island, which was much longer. Lots of locals were in that queue, and I thought, well, they must know the good places to go. So I followed the crowd, I bought a ticket, and off I went to Kuzu Island. Isn't that great? Well, not really. Because it turned out that everyone was going there because there was a religious festival, Taoist festival. Everything was closed. There were parades, there was burning of incense, ancestor worship. And I ended up sitting by the sea on my own for 5 hours till the boat came back, got terrorized by a giant lizard. It was a complete disaster. Following the crowd doesn't always get you where you want to go. Sometimes it's the minority who are right. So, yes, Christians are in the minority, but don't use that as an excuse for not considering Christianity. That's my first excuse. Second excuse, Christians are hypocrites. Is that what you think? Christians are just faking it? Well, Jesus is with you in that one. Some people are hypocrites and claim to be Christians, says Jesus. Jesus calls them false prophets. They're pretending to be something they aren't. See how Jesus describes them. It's in verse 15 here. Watch out for false prophets, he says. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They're faking it. They say they're Christians, but they're not the genuine article. How are we to tell the real thing from the fake? Well, Jesus says, don't just listen to what they say. Look at their lives. Look at how they live. Verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Christianity isn't just about words. Christianity isn't just about doctrine. Being a Christian brings wonderful changes in a person's life. If you go and speak to James, who gave his testimony early, if you go and speak to him afterwards, he'll tell you more about how his life changed when he became a Christian. But sadly, some people who claim to follow Jesus are clearly serving themselves and not God. And that's what Jesus is talking about in verse 17. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Well, I own a tree. I've got an apple tree in my back garden. Every year it produces beautiful blossoms in the spring and loads of apples in the summer. The problem is the apples fall off before they're ripe. And if you pick them up off the grass, they're all pockmarked and moldy and completely inedible. And the people who know about these things tell me my tree's got some dread disease, the black spot or the black death or something. Anyway, it produces bad fruit because it's a bad tree. Well, sadly, some people who say they're Christians are like that. The blossoms are all there in the spring, but the fruit's not good. Maybe we think of, shockingly, paedophile priests in the Roman Catholic Church using their position for wickedness. They're hypocrites. Maybe we think of televangelists in the United States. Send us your money and your prayers will be answered, they say. Hypocrites. Maybe we think of the Revival Fires Church that came to Dudley from Florida earlier this year. They held services for debt cancellation. If you were actually at the service, you waved your papers in the air and your debts were cancelled. And if you were watching the internet, you just pressed your papers to your computer screen and your debts were cancelled. It was a scam. What a disgrace. They were faking it, hypocrites. Well, Jesus doesn't beat about the bush. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. There'll be an accounting for those whose claim to be Christians is not genuine. Those who claim to be in the narrow road and are actually all along on the broad road. They're faking it. Now, that's not to say that all Christians are hypocrites. Don't say because of the tele-evangelist, because of the debt cancellation scams, I'm not going to have anything to do with Christianity. That's like saying, I met a man who told me a lie, I'll never trust anyone again. That's like saying, I got food poisoning last week, I'm never going to eat again. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't use the hypocrisy of some as an excuse for you not to consider the claims of Christianity. Well, there's my first two excuses. I've got a third excuse. Christians are deceiving themselves. Christians are deceiving themselves. Maybe that's what you think. Christianity, you say, is a crutch for people who can't quite cope with this life. In the face of the struggles of this world, they manage to pin their hopes on an imaginary world to come. They manage to convince themselves that that's true. Believing Jesus, these people say, is like believing in Santa Claus this Christmas. Something you've got to grow out of. Wonder if you ever read that book by Robert Persig, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Did you ever come across that? The author, Robert Persig, said this: when one person suffers from a delusion, it's called insanity. When many people suffer from a delusion, it's called religion. Well, Jesus agrees that some people are self-deceived. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You can take part in church services and prayers and hymn singing. You can know lots about doctrine and theology. You can have majestic buildings and impressive ceremonies and beautiful robes. You can even prophesy and cast out demons and do miracles. And you can think that because of these things, you're all right. But listen, these things aren't Christianity. Sometimes the trappings of religion act as a sort of placebo. You know what a placebo is? Placebo is a tablet or a medicine that has no active ingredient and no therapeutic effect. And you give it to someone without them knowing, and it does them good and they feel better because they believe it works. Is Christianity just a placebo? Are Christians deceiving themselves? It's quite popular to say something like this. It doesn't matter what you believe, provided you're sincere, provided you're honest, provided you hold your beliefs with integrity. It doesn't really matter what these beliefs actually are. Problem is, it's possible to be sincere and to be mistaken. It's possible to be sincerely wrong. Think of this. Your friend says she's working hard for her exams and she hopes to have enough work done by the time the exam comes this Friday. But you know the exam's on Thursday. Do you tell her? Or is it all right for her to be wrong, sincerely wrong? What kind of friend are you? At the end of the day, the vital thing is not what you or I think might be true or might like to be true. What matters is what actually is true. Formal religion can be like a placebo. You can think everything's all right because you go to church, but your relationship, your religion is only keeping you away from God. Someone described churches as refuges for fugitives from God. And sometimes that's true. Well, people like that are in for a terrible shock. Verse 23, "Then I will tell them plainly," Jesus said, "I never knew you." Isn't that ironic? There are self-deceived people who love religion, and their religion keeps them from coming to Jesus. And there are cynical people who hate religion, and that keeps them from coming to Jesus. I wonder if you're here this evening and you might fall into one of these two groups. You're religious, you come to church, but despite that, you don't really know Jesus. You're just a churchgoer. Or maybe you're one of these cynical people. You won't consider Jesus. Normally, you wouldn't come near a church. Well, the truth is, real Christianity, authentic Christianity, is all about knowing Jesus personally. Did you notice what Jesus said to these religious people in verse 23? "I never knew you." That's what mattered. I never knew you. Because you see, Christianity isn't about a system of ethics. It's about a relationship with a person. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. We men and women were created by God to have a relationship with God, and tragically, left to ourselves, we try to shut God out of our lives, and God is angry. Now, it's not fashionable to say that. It's not fashionable to say God is angry, but that's the truth. And Jesus is God's rescue mission. Jesus, who we've been worshiping in song and praying to this evening, Jesus came as a man, God as a man, into this world to pay the price for our rebellion against God. He sort of stood up and said, "It was me, I'll take the blame." And he died on the cross in your place and mine so that we might have a restored relationship with God. That's real Christianity. That's the genuine article. A real Christian is someone who's been saved from God's judgment by handing their life over to Jesus, who died for them. And that's the point of Jesus' story about the two houses here. One man built his house on the rock. That pictures a man and a person in the narrow road, reconciled with God, headed for eternal life. The other man built his house in the sand. Pictures the person in the broad road, living life without God and headed for destruction. And you see, the thing is this, both the wise man and the foolish man worked equally hard in their building, but the more the fool does, the more he has to lose. He's been doing it for himself. The more he invests in this house and the sand, the more he'll lose at the end. So take warning. You can be ever so clever, ever so determined, ever so successful, ever so popular, but if you're building everything on things of this life that will finally disappear, it'll all come to nothing, no matter how hard you try. And you know, the two houses look the same in fair weather. You can't finally tell if someone belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ or not just by looking at them. They may be respectable, they may be kind, they may be moral, but if they've no relationship with Jesus, their house is built in the sand. It'll all come to nothing in the end. That's what the storm pictures. Verse 27. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. That's God's judgment. There is a judgment, an accounting at the end of this life. This life may look like a supermarket with the shelves all stacked with Christmas goodies, but at the end there's a checkout. God has given us dignity, the dignity of making decisions that are real and that we are accountable to God for. And what makes the difference is how you and I personally respond to Jesus. Verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, as opposed to verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house in sand. The only way to be right with God is by accepting Jesus and his death on the cross for us. It's not enough to hear Jesus' words. It's not enough to know Jesus' words. It's not enough to believe Jesus' words. You must do something about it. So what's your situation here this evening? Are you skeptical about Christianity? Are you skeptical about Christians? They're in the minority. They're hypocrites. They're self-deceived. They're faking it. Don't use these as excuses for not considering Jesus. It's your response to him that matters. So I urge you, if you haven't done it before, consider handing your life to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Speak to someone before you go. Come and talk to Johnny. Come and talk to me. Maybe the person who brought you along. Don't put it off. Sort it out. Maybe you're here this evening and you're a religious person, a churchgoer. Maybe you often come with the crowd on Sunday evenings to City Church. Please be sure you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Don't just be going through the motions week by week. If you're not sure, talk to someone this evening before you go home. And if you're here this evening, you do know Jesus. You know you have a personal relationship with him. Well, that's wonderful. You're on the narrow road. You're built on the rock. Congratulations. You're on the way to eternal life. That's authentic Christianity. That's the real thing. Thank you for listening. Johnny.